This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at howiecarshow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to Help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
But I closed it up long before Pelosi. Listen, long before Pelosi, you know, she was having parties in San Francisco. Let's all go to Chinatown.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
And that was a long time after I closed up the country.
That's why your ratings are so bad, because you're pathetic.
Your ratings are terrible. You got to get back to real news. Go ahead.
I love this guy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Elizabeth City Police shot this video for us to show us how drones work.
Failure to comply could lead to a summons or a $1,000 fine. The drones donated by DJI, a Chinese company, have gone to 43 agencies in 22 states. A Chinese company.
Okay, red flags all over the place.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Hey, everyone, welcome to this unemployment town hall. So many people have lost their jobs, myself included. What we're going to focus on today really is the theater business, the Broadway theater business.
You're joking, right?
For me personally, I was in a show on Broadway until a little over a month ago. Was it March 12th when Mayor de Blasio ordered the theaters be shut down? I got a call and it was over.
Unchained and unstoppable.
February 25th, he goes to India. This is 4 days after the White House coronavirus task force said we're going to have to lock down the country.
The day before, that's when the administration requested $2.5 billion from Congress to combat the virus and the potential spread of it.
Finish him.
Nancy Pelosi, the only thing she would put on the floor to vote on was a bill to ban flavored tobacco.
Fatality. Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Hi, I'm Howie Carr. I'm not an attorney, but I play one on TV. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to ask you, have you been arrested on a warrant from a drone flying overhead as you tried to walk your dog or play catch with your kid or take a stroll on the beach? Call my law firm. 1-800-NO-DRONES. Reasonable doubt at a reasonable price. Cash preferred, but credit cards will be accepted. Welcome to the show today. I'm Howie Carr. As the lockdown continues, the flu d'etat, that's what I'm calling it now. And again, I'm going back to a quote I saw over the weekend from a small businesswoman. He was an American thinker. I am not concerned about the loss of life, but I am concerned about the loss of the life I've built up. And I think that's the situation we find ourselves in now in the vast majority of the country. And I hope this ends sooner rather than later before the economic devastation, as terrible as it is, gets any worse. And, you know, the fact is, though, that the demonstrations continue today on a weekday. It's an odd thing. Until the last couple of weeks, all the demonstrations in front of the state houses and the city halls on weekdays, they were all left-wingers. Liberals, Bernie bros, illegal aliens, the people that didn't have jobs, the people that had that were on welfare, the people that were on trust funds. Now people like us are demonstrating on the weekdays. You know why? Because 22 million of us are unemployed. Fortunately, I'm not one of them right now, but I'm concerned, as everybody is who's still got a job, who's not, you know, a hack, who's not looking for a federal bailout. Phil Murphy, New Jersey governor, Andrew Cuomo, the New York governor, got their hands out. Give us a bailout. We've got to protect our hack workers. We got to protect the Democrat machine for November 3rd. I don't think so. All right, Grace. Enough with my monologue.
Hello, Howard. Happy Monday. I think spirits are very high on this 420.
420?
Did you know it was 420 today, Howard?
Ha, ha, ha.
And although you cannot gather to smoke a joint on this 420. I hear there's a lot of virtual marijuana festivities going on.
I just did some. I'm toking right now with on my pen.
You're spreading the virtual cheer for 420. I just wanted to say,
and it's not only is it 420, it's 2020.
Exactly, Howie. It's extra special. Put a candle on the pot brownie.
There's three times as much THC in this 420.
I just wanted to say, Taylor, phenomenal introduction. I loved all of those cuts. One part of the intro I really want to focus in on is Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas. He was on with Bill Maher. It went viral this weekend on Twitter. What's interesting, Howie, is that these late night people, whether it's HBO or whether it's Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel, whatever, or The View even, anyone who has a live audience, they thrive off of the clapping seals in the audience, giving them momentum and, you know, making them appear as if they're winning arguments. So when that
you call them seals. I have more respect for seals. I grew up around seals in Casco Bay, you know. I consider these people sheeple.
Sheeple. Okay. Well, you know, some people have a lot of respect for sheep, Howie. So I don't know what. We might have to come up with a new word. But yeah, so they
I don't think hooves makes a very good sound when you put them together.
So these people, these audience members, they're very vital because they keep the momentum going in the direction of the left winger who's running the program. When they do not have that audience, it's interesting to see how weak their arguments truly are. And that's what happened this weekend. Taylor, I want you to choose which cuts you really want to play here. There's so many of Crenshaw just destroying Bill Maher.
Let's play the last two.
Okay, go ahead.
Since when does America take its lead from Italy and Spain?
Well, because those were where the outbreaks were happening.
I understand.
Right? I'm pointing it out again for context. But if we're going to criticize somebody's actions, we have to do it in the context of the facts they knew at the time. And so I'm just trying to be fair here, that I don't really care about defending him or his actions. I just care about letting people know the truth. And when people make these accusations, I have to ask them a question. Is the goal to make Trump look bad, or is the goal to get to the truth? Because there's two different sets of answers for that.
Okay, but sometimes they converge. Sometimes the truth is that somebody who says, I have a hunch this is going to go away. Is that someone you would want to have served with? I mean, my God, I don't understand, why someone with your resume, you were in Fallujah, for God's sakes. Would you want someone, a commander, to say that to you, to blame everybody else if something goes wrong, and then to say, I have a hunch the enemy's not going to be in there. Let's attack.
Sure, no, I understand that. So here's how I would describe my answer to that. When bullets are flying past my head, I don't need to raise my voice. And I write about this in my book, too. Calm breeds calm, panic breeds panic. Being an optimistic, exuding positivity and calmness in crisis is exactly how we ask our SEALs to lead.
As I quote Rudyard Kipling, if you can keep your head while all about are losing theirs, then you will be a man, my son.
It's true.
That's what Dan Crenshaw was saying.
But there's also something about Crenshaw, and Joe Concha tweeted this out this weekend and said he foresees him running for president at some point in his career. And the reason being is he will go on any media platform, and he's very calm, almost like AG Bill Barr. And the reason is because he has confidence in his viewpoints and he knows what he's talking about. So he doesn't get rattled. He doesn't yell. And, you know, you guys can use me as an example, as someone who starts yelling and trying to outdo one another with loudness. He just says it how it is. He never gets, you know, angry or red or hot under the collar. And so I think he really put Bill Maher back on his toes because he seemed like he owned the whole conversation, Howie.
Yeah, I know. And the fact is that Nancy Pelosi just keeps going on TV and lying about him. And she doesn't get called out even by Chris Wallace.
I know. And Chris Wallace didn't call her out? I was really counting on Chris Wallace to do his job. And he let me down.
But the one I want to play. You know, we have all these cuts of Nancy Pelosi. She prays. She does a lot of praying. When she's not eating Jenny's ice cream out of her Sub-Zero refrigerator, she's praying.
Check
she's
point.
Praying, and she talked about it again Easter Sunday. You know Joe Biden was looking for the Easter eggs that he had put around his basement the day before. He was he's still searching for them, as a matter of fact. But while Joe Biden was searching for the Easter eggs, Nancy Pelosi was praying. Cut 10.
I was very prayerful on Easter. It was one of the first days I didn't have to be working every minute, and I could reflect and be prayerful. And what I decided was that the president has made many mistakes. Okay, let's have an after-action review of that. But if he continued to put forth proposals that were not science-based, continuing his, what did he say? It's a hoax. It's magically going to go away. Okay, put that aside. But to proceed with policies which were not science-based, which are not evidence-based, and to blame others, name anybody, blame the governors, blame me, blame the World Health Organization, leaders take responsibility.
But that's the thing.
When does she take responsibility? She's the number three person in line for the presidency.
But Howie, there's a difference between blaming people and pointing out a double standard. And calling people hypocritical when they are acting like hypocrites is not blaming. It's just saying, listen, we all have to hold each other to the same standard. Nancy Pelosi cannot say that it's all Trump's fault if he enacted a travel ban and at the same time she was down in San Francisco telling people to come in for tourism. Yeah. Those two things don't make sense. And to live in this reality that, I didn't do anything wrong. When you can't admit even a little bit, I made a mistake, then there's no point in arguing because you can never be crazy. Meanwhile,
de Blasio has said today that New York City is going to be, all public events are going to be shut down through the end of June. This is de Blasio who, in the middle of March, was telling people that they should still go to movie theaters. This is Bill de Blasio who, along with Andrew Cuomo, hasn't shut down the New York City subways.
I mean, but these mayors and these governors, Howie, they're just loving this because it's so easy for them to shut everything down. And it's what they're good at. They're good at stopping business. They're not good at creating business anyway. So this is really just, it's all in their wheelhouse. When we get back, Brian Stelter had a tweet this weekend that was heard around the world. So we got tweet beat on the other side. And I want to remind everyone to go to HowieKarcher.com and check out the new T-shirt. Buy American, support America. A portion of the proceeds go to ER Eats, so you'll be helping a good cause and wearing a shirt that is so important right now.
And it's made in America. It's made in America. And here it is. You can get it. Go to HowieKarcher.com. Click on store, and you can order one right now. Or you can order as many as you want. And part of the proceeds go to ER Eats, our program to supply hospitals with money to support the local restaurants to get money meals for the medical personnel in the emergency rooms. All right, we'll be right back. 844-500-4242. Buy American, support America. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr. We'll be back after this.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Is it? A little bit late, 4:23, but close enough.
We celebrated the actual 4:20 here. I mean, we didn't celebrate it, but we all yelled, yay, when it was 4:20 on 4:20, 2020.
Okay. Marijuana stores are open many places, not in Massachusetts, though. I don't know why. The liquor stores are open. Why not marijuana? I mean, I'm not a big marijuana. I voted against legalizing marijuana, but if you're going to legalize marijuana, you might as well keep those stores open too, in addition to the liquor stores. My opinion. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Harvard, with a $40 billion endowment, accept the federal $9 million relief grant?
No. N-O.
Again, take a guess at how this one's going.
Probably 99 to 1.
Still 99 to 1.
I just, again, the reason I made this, I had a very good feeling that this is the way it was going to go, but I want people to understand that, and we have a big turnover of audience every hour. Harvard University has a endowment of $40 billion, and they took a $9 million handout from the government.
Howie, you know who didn't take a handout and actually returned it?
I saw Sugar Shack, Shake Shack.
Sugar Shack sounds good, though.
Sugar Shack, that's the Jimmy Kilmer and the Fireball song.
That's where Nancy Pelosi goes to get her fix of ice cream.
Grace, did they give it back before or after they got busted by the media?
Oh, see, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I don't know either. The timeline is somewhat suspect.
They said it's inexcusable to leave restaurants out because no one told them to get in line by the time the funding dried up. That unfairly pits restaurants against restaurants. The industry rises and falls together. Either way, they returned it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse got $10 million, too.
Yes. Okay, Howie, so this is the tweet that I've been wanting to get to all day long, which means it's time for... By the way, I get a lot of people complaining about that song, and then I got one guy who said he loved it, so therefore it shall remain. CNN's Brian Stelter crawled in bed,
Humpty Dumpty,
and cried over coronavirus. Says
this is really, even by the beta male standards of the Chinese news network CNN, this is pathetic.
So I'm going to read these, and I'd like a little violin, please, Taylor. Last night, I hit a wall. Gutted by the death toll, disturbed by the government's shortcomings, dismayed by political rhetoric that bears no resemblance to reality, worried about friends who are losing jobs, kids who are missing school, and senior citizens who are living in fear, I crawled in bed and cried for our pre-pandemic lives. Tears that have been waiting a month to escape. I wanted to share because it feels freeing to do so. Now is not a time for faux invincibility. Journos are living this, hating this, like
journos.
Everyone else.
Is he a journo? How does he know what journos are living?
I don't think
propagandist.
I don't think anyone thought Brian Stelter was like the face of faux invincibility. But it's good to know.
You know, I wanted to crawl. When I read that, Grace, I wanted to crawl into bed and cry just for the thought of what journos have become.
And listen,
in 2020.
There's nothing wrong with crying. Everyone gets stressed out. But I just have to say, I know people who have had weddings canceled, who have lost people, who are putting on a braver face than a lot of these journos who feel that they are the ones being persecuted. I'm just saying, everyone needs to keep in perspective what other people are going through as well. Also, Howie, majority of young Americans say climate change affects their major life decisions. 75% of Gen Zers and 77% of millennials said climate change has affected their major life decisions.
It hasn't affected the Obamas' decisions to buy real estate on the beach in Martha's Vineyard.
7 in 10 millennials said that they don't want to or are not planning to have children as a result of climate change. They're not going to have kids, Howie, because of
first they
got to
get a
warming.
Date. First they got to get a date, Grace.
Howard.
It's kind of hard too when you live in your parents' basement. I'm Howie Carr. Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points or thousands of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride that the stock markets have been on the last couple of weeks. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you always need to be diversified, and that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you haven't yet taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's still not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver and other precious metals. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them right now at 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. It's amazing what's coming out. It's not being reported by the left-wing news outlets, obviously. But the Russian collusion hoax is now totally debunked. And the fact is that it's now, without a doubt, true that the real Russian collusion was between the FBI and Hillary Clinton colluding with the Russians to falsely accuse Donald Trump of colluding with the Russians against Hillary Clinton. In other words, it's exactly the opposite of what has been portrayed in the media for now almost 4 years. It's just, and again, it's all out in the open. If we could ever get beyond this this pandemic. Joining us now is Joe DeGenova, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, who's been following this and is an expert and is talking to people in the know. Joe, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you, Howie.
Where do you want to start in this thing today? I mean, we've got so much to get to. Why don't we start with the fact that now it turns out that these footnotes in the IG's reports have been unredacted, that yep. The FBI, in their applications to get a warrant to bug Carter Page, the Donald Trump aide, they were cutting and pasting from the Steele dossier. Cutting and pasting.
Yeah, and remember, people forget that in one of his few moments of candor, McCabe, during his testimony to the intelligence committees on the Hill, said that but for the Steele dossier, there is no Carter Page warrant. And now we know that the information was so bad that they had in their possession that almost all of it was exculpatory. In other words, they knew, the FBI did, and so did senior Obama administration Justice Department officials and senior CIA officials, Reid John Brennan, that Mr. Papadopoulos, Mr. Carter Page, and others were innocent, that they did nothing wrong, that they were not working with the Russians. And with the knowledge that these people were guilty of nothing, nonetheless, the FBI went forward and got warrants to spy on Carter Page. But remember, when they get a warrant to spy on Carter Page, they will be spying on hundreds of other people who are in communication 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times away from Carter Page. So the bottom line is, Brennan's guilty, so is Comey, so is McCabe, and Durham's going to hang them all.
But what are I keep coming back to this, Joe. What exactly are they going to be charged with criminally? I mean, give me the exact crime.
They are going to be charged with, it is now apparent from what we now know, that John Durham is going to charge an overarching conspiracy to defraud the United States government. This is the famous conspiracy to defraud statute that was used against many of the people in the Trump campaign that liberals love, that the mainstream media love. It is the major U.S. conspiracy statute. They're going to be charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States government of the honest services of its employees, of the faithful enforcement of the law. They are going to be charged, and this includes Brennan and others, with conspiring to deny Donald Trump, Carter Page, and a number of other people unknown at this point of their civil rights, not only by spying on them illegally, but investigating them without the authority to do so, and then unmasking people without the authority to do so, and then leaking that information to the press in order to embarrass and besmirch those people. It will be one of the great crimes of all times, combined in a gigantic conspiracy indictment. And it's going to be, that's what it's going to be, conspiracy to steal people's civil, to deny people their civil rights, and to defraud the United States government of the faithful service of the FBI, the CIA, and other government officials.
I keep coming back to this 171-page transcript between Papadopoulos and Stefan Halper, the pickle nose, the guy who got millions of dollars to set this whole thing up. And he's talking with Papadopoulos while he's wired up, or the phone is bugged or whatever. And Papadopoulos keeps telling him over and over again, we don't have any Russian sources. Are you crazy? We wouldn't do that.
Right.
We don't have anything. And yet Weissman, I forget Mueller, he's as far gone as Biden, but Weissman, the guy who's now, I think, a CNN or MSNBC contributor, he had to have seen this transcript, right? I mean, he knew that Papadopoulos was innocent. And yet,
of course he did.
He still charges him with a felony of lying to a federal agent. And they tried to set him up by giving him $10,000 in Israel, which he was smart enough to get rid of. But Papadopoulos ended up going to prison for 10 days. I mean, he shouldn't have gone to prison for 10 seconds because he didn't do anything. How does Weissman sleep at night?
Well, when you're a person like Weissman and you are fundamentally dishonest and unethical as a prosecutor, that's the way you are. That's pure evil. Remember what Papadopoulos said. He said, not only did he say, we wouldn't do that because it would be illegal, but he also said it would also be treason. So this is not some guy who's floating around looking for a way to make a buck and betray his country. This is a guy who was, for all of his faults, Papadopoulos was a fundamentally honest guy, interested in foreign policy. But here's the thing about Weissman. In an overarching conspiracy, which is what this is going to be from Durham, one of the things you do is you lay out, because the law requires it, something called overt acts, O-V-E-R-T. There must be at least one overt act in a conspiracy, and that means that somebody took some step. They did something in furtherance of the conspiracy. In this case, I expect that the indictment will contain thousands of overt acts, of which one of them could very well be Weissman indicting Papadopoulos, knowing that he was innocent.
It's just, we're going to have Roger Stone on the show later today, and
great.
But there's another outrage. I mean, they're letting Avenatti, who's 49, go. They're letting Michael Cohen, who's 53, go because they hate Trump. So they get a pass out of the Bureau of Prisons. And Paul Manafort, I'm not a defender of his particularly. He's 71. He has underlying conditions, and he hasn't been released. And they want to send Roger Stone, who's 67.
He will be. I am told yesterday that Manafort has been approved for release.
Good. But, I mean, again, the double standard continues. Trump's been president for 3 years, and the deep state is still protecting its own and punishing people who have done much less than the likes of Avenatti and Cohen.
Absolutely. Well, look at the fact that Roger Stone was denied a new trial by this federal judge in Washington, Amy Berman Jackson. This woman couldn't see a legal error that hurts a Republican if it landed in her lap, you know, from Mars. This is so disgusting that she would not grant a new trial when you have a foreman of this jury who's completely politically compromised, lied on a jury form, lied under oath during voir dire, and this judge doesn't grant a new trial. Let me tell you something. The way she conducted jury questioning in the trial of Roger Stone was a disgrace. She is an embarrassment to the federal bench in Washington, D.C. I have to apologize. She was an assistant United States attorney for me when I was U.S. attorney, and I've never been.
Why didn't
more
you get rid of her?
Of anybody who? Oh God! Let me just tell you something. Just an embarrassment.
Let me ask you, Joe, let me ask you about this guy, Trubnikov, I think his name is. This is another thing that's just come out. This guy was the head of what used to be the KGB, correct? He was the head.
Yes.
And he was one of the people who set up Carter Page, who was an asset for the CIA. So, in other words, Trubnikov is using the corrupt FBI to settle scores with patriotic Americans who have sent his agents to prison. Have I got that right?
Yes, this is like something out of a movie. Vyacheslav Trubnikov actually drafted fake information to give to Steele to use in the dossier. This is like a Chekhov novel. It's beyond horrible. And it helps to have a guy like Vyacheslav Trubnikov. Yeah, by the way, I watched Gorky Park the other night purposely when I found out who this guy was, just to get a feel for creepy Russians.
And he's Stefan Halper's friend. And Stefan Halper, exactly. he's the guy that has the pickle nose. He's the professor at Cambridge. You know what gets me? None of these guys are James Bond. You know? You got these people like Chiaramella and Kleinsmith, the FBI lawyer who's going to be indicted, and Stefan Halper. None of these guys have ever gone on any secret missions and risked their lives. They're just paper shufflers and pencil sharpeners, and they made millions.
What they are is they're what we call intelligence pimps. These are the people around the edges who make money off of intelligence, who occasionally are used to do something like they did in this case, usually against foreign powers, which right. We're all for. Let them have at it. But this is the first time that people like this, the intelligence pimps, of which Stefan Halper is one, have been used against American citizens purposely to disrupt a presidential election, to disrupt the presidential transition, and to try to destroy an American president. Stefan Halper will be one of the overt acts in the major two-count conspiracy indictment against John Brennan and others. And Halper was paid huge sums of money
right.
over a period
millions.
Of time. And by the way,
millions.
They cannot. And all of the junk that he has produced has yet to be given to the oversight committees. What did he produce? Where are his reports? And the guy who was protecting him inside that office where he got all this money, the Office of National Assessment, has yet to produce any of the information. I don't know if the guy is still there. His name is James Baker. Not the James Baker who was the FBI general counsel.
So many James Bakers.
And a lot of James Baker. And not the former Secretary of State.
Right. Right. John Solomon said that he thinks they're going to be in a couple of indictments at least fairly soon.
Yes.
Do you agree? Yes?
Yes, I do. I don't think it's going to be one indictment. I think they're going to be a series of indictments. I think John is right, and I think the reason for that is if you try to do – certainly there will be one overarching indictment about the nature of the conspiracy, mm-hmm. which will define it. From that, there will be a number of other separate indictments of individuals for specific acts.
Who's
and
first? Who goes thing. First? Who leads off?
That's a good question. Well, you know what? The only way you can answer that question is if you're gathering the evidence. And what you do is you do this strategically. You bring the indictment first that's going to rattle the cages. The one that's, remember, you remember this from your old days, Howie. They would try to rattle the wire. They'd do something and see
yeah.
if they could catch somebody on a wire tap
right.
saying something.
Right.
They're going to do the same thing. They're going to pick the first case that's going to frighten the most people right away. Now, given the kind of people we're dealing with, which is sleazeballs like Brennan and Clapper and Comey and McCabe and Sally Yates and all those people, and all the senior DOJ people who were involved in knowingly foisting false FISA applications on the FISA court, I would think that most of these people are going to be pretty arrogant when they're indicted.
Yeah.
They're going to accuse the president and Durham and Barr of politicization of the criminal process. But you know what? Nothing anybody can do about that. They've been doing that from day one, and now it's mm-hmm. their turn to pay.
All right, Joe. Keep me in the loop. Sometimes you see things that I miss. Undercover Huber is the guy you want to follow if you're on Twitter. That guy, Undercover Huber, is really wired in, I think. I don't know who he is.
Maybe.
Okay, great. Joe DeGeneva, thanks as always for being on the show, and this has been a very interesting week. Keep, you're not going to see it on TV very much, but you can find it on the internet if you look for it. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Undercover Huber. That's the Twitter account. And the Conservative Treehouse is pretty good, too. That's Sundance, if you want to just get up to speed. If it were me, I mean, John Durham knows what he's doing. I've seen him in action. He's the U.S. attorney from Connecticut. He was involved in an FBI corruption case in Boston that I had a lot of interest in. And he's very good. But if it were me, the first guy I would indict was this guy Kleinschmidt, this FBI lawyer who falsified the CIA email saying that Carter Page was a CIA asset, and he falsified it, forged it, to make sure it said he wasn't an asset. So, that I mean, they got him cold. They got him cold. That's the first, and I would take him out just because I don't see even a D.C. jury. I don't see how they acquit him. Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, Howie. Frank. Hi. From San Francisco.
How you doing? Has Nancy Pelosi ever had you over to her mansion for any Jenny's ice cream?
No, not hardly. In her $24,000
sub-zero
refrigerator, yes. Freezer? No.
Yes.
No. Listen, two quick things. Number one, the Brian Seltzer thing just frustrated me. I'm a 73-year-old guy, and born right after the war. Both my mom and dad served in the armed services, so did my uncle and such. So it was always important to us. And, you know, during the Second World War, they had people that were collaborators, and
right.
They called them Quislings.
Right.
And they had people like Axis Sally and Lord Haw Haw.
Right, and Tokyo Rose.
Difference, Howie.
Yeah.
Not much difference.
No, and you know what? They never could figure out who Tokyo Rose was. There were a bunch of them, so they didn't. But Lord Haw Haw was, I believe, hanged. Was he not? I think he was. He worked for the Nazis, and he was just and Ezra Pound. You know, he was a crazy poet. He worked for. He made some propaganda broadcasts. He did some time in a prison for a while, even though he was a fairly great poet, if you like poetry. Thanks for the call, Frank. Jimmy, you're next with Howie Carr. Oh, we're out of time. We'll take some more calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. Buy America and support America. Go to HowieCarrShow.com. Buy this T-shirt that we now just ordered. Added small and medium T-shirts to it as well. They're American-made. I'm Howie Carr.